All right, it seems like a little while since I've been here to teach the Heidelberg Catechism to you. I've heard good things about what Robert taught the last time. There are books up here in the front, and Quentin will get you one if you need one, so just raise your hand if you need a catechism book. And we are going to be looking at questions 92 and 93 today. I realized after I gave Robert the questions for last time that I didn't tell him to teach the last question of Lord's Day 33. So we're going to do the last Lord's Day question of Lord's Day 33 and the first one of Lord's Day 34. So don't worry about the Lord's Days today. Just we're doing questions 92 and 93. We have...
I wasn't supposed to do 91.
You were, but you weren't supposed to do 92. Do you see how 92 is... It's technically still in that same Lord's Day, but it has a new heading over it. So it looks like there's a new section starting at question 92, but for whatever reason, the editors have grouped it with the previous question. So anyway, however you want to think about it, we're doing questions 92 and 93 today. And we are in that section of the Catechism talking about service or gratitude, how we respond then to God's grace in our lives, and so how we respond to salvation. And so we're going to start in here, like I said, on the Ten Commandments. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be going one commandment at a time. But I want to start this week with an overview of the commandments to think about some big picture thoughts. And so what I'm going to have you do is, if you have your book open, just put your finger in it and close it for a little bit. And we're going to do a little bit of testing of yourself. And we're going to think for just a moment. The Ten Commandments are fairly well known as a thing. People know there is such a thing as the Ten Commandments, but... we as Christians sometimes stumble on trying to figure out, remember which one's which. So you see them up on walls and at courthouses and things like that. But right now, I would like you to stop and think, and you can do it on your own head, so you don't have to admit if you get it wrong. But sit there and think for a second and try to go through in order and see if you can do the Ten Commandments in order. You don't have to do all the extra clauses that come with the Sabbath or the other ones to see if you can do the headings for all 10. And I'll give you just a minute to work on it. I'll do it myself. Isn't it nice there aren't like 17 or 35? We just have 10 to remember. All right, so now, even if haven't gotten all the way there, let's see if we can do them. So I'm gonna ask for a volunteer from under the age of 17 for each of these, and we'll start working our way through. And then, so let's see. What's the first commandment, Ian? You shall have no other gods before me. Good job. Okay, that's the first commandment. Second commandment. Oh, I'll give you a second. Somebody under the age of 17. Ben. You shall not make any graven images or bow down to them or serve them. Right? Okay, so no god, no other gods, no graven images. What about number 3? Under the age of 17. Quentin? You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Right? Okay, number 4? Somebody who hasn't gone yet? All right, I'll have somebody who's good. Quentin, go ahead. What'd you say? The Sabbath day, that's right. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it you shall do no work. Right? Okay. Now, this is especially great for those under 17. What about the fifth commandment? Julia. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord is giving you. Right? Comes with a promise. All right. The sixth commandment, Karis. You shall not murder, right? And now what about the seventh commandment? Ian? No, number 7. What's number 7? You shall not commit adultery, right? What about number 8? Oh, that's number 9. We're almost there. Ian? You shall not steal. So here's how I always remember it. I used to get 6 and 8 mixed up, but I figure you got to kill somebody before you go through their pockets to take their stuff. So you murder before you steal, right? I don't know, that's a morbid way of thinking about it, but it helps me. So that's number 8. And number 9, what's the 9th commandment? Emmett, what did you say?
Don't lie.
You shall not bear false witness, right? And then number 10, Karis. You shall not covet. That's right. Sometimes it's the ones you've just done that are hard to remember. All right. So those are the 10 commandments, right? And it's only 10 for the 10 commandments, right? And we can remember them. We'll talk a little bit about how to think about them. Now, we'll do a little bonus question here then. Jesus talks about the greatest commandment and the second, which is like it. Okay, who can tell me what those two commands are? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. Don said it there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Okay, so this is great. So we need to refresh our memories on these things. We need to think about this. But look at question 92 then. What is the law of God? And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So those are the Ten Commandments. And we often talk about the Ten Commandments, and this catechism gives us and numbers them, right? It tells you, there's a little heading over each one. It tells you this is the first commandment and the second commandment. But you might be surprised to know, some of you may know, that which 10 are the Ten Commandments is actually a debated thing. And the Bible refers to them as the 10 words. There are 3 places. One of them is Deuteronomy 4, verse 13. Deuteronomy 4:13 says, and he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is the Ten Commandments, literally the 10 words. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. And so 3 times in the Old Testament, they're called the Ten Commandments, but there's actually a lot of debate in church history about which are the 10. Because there are multiple commands within some of the commandments. And who knows? Some of us were talking about this before, so the people we were talking about this after the morning service can't answer. But who knows how Roman Catholics divide the Ten Commandments differently from us? Does anybody know? I came across this one time when I was watching an episode of Law and Order. I think it was in high school. And someone said, as he was arresting somebody, he said something about, that's, you're breaking the seventh commandment. And I said, that is not the seventh commandment he's breaking. And I realized he was using the Catholic numbering, but it wasn't the Protestant numbering. So the Catholic numbering, well, I guess I'll open it up to the rest of you. We were talking about this earlier. Do you remember what the difference is? with the Catholic numbering? That 1 and 2 are combined. So in Roman Catholic commandments, it says they believe that you shall have no other gods before me, and graven images is the same command. It's all under one umbrella about not worshiping other gods. And then they divide it. They divide the command not to covet. So it's you shall not covet your neighbor's wife is number 9. And then commandment 10 is you shall not covet your neighbor's house or any of his other things. And so that actually has a long history in the church. It goes back to Augustine. Augustine was one of the people who promoted this idea that of dividing them up that way. John Calvin addresses this in the Institutes, and he says that Augustine actually wasn't that sure about it, and Augustine said in a few other places that he kind of liked the other numbering. But Augustine really liked to have threes because he wanted to see the Trinity in everything. And so he saw 3 commandments about God. If you combine the first 2, then you have the first 3 commandments about God. And so he wanted that to be the way it was. But certainly not the testimony of all of church history. And Calvin in his time and others like our catechism. So if you think about it, this catechism was written when this was actually pretty controversial to number them this way. That the church as a whole was authoritatively teaching, although they don't make a big point of it, and the Catholics will even tell you it doesn't matter that much how they're numbered. But the church was teaching this is not teaching a different numbering. And the reformers said, no, these are the 10 that the Bible is that God is referring to when he talks about the 10. Lutherans today still follow the Catholic numbering. Can anyone suggest why it might matter that the Lutherans and Catholics combine the first 2 commandments? What difference does that make that they include graven images with worshiping other gods? Jim? Well, so you go into a Lutheran church, or especially a Roman Catholic church, they have a lot of graven images, right? There's a lot of statues or icons in the East, but if you combine those, the numbering does matter, because if you combine the commandments, then graven images just has to do with worshiping other gods. So as long as you're not worshiping other gods, you can do whatever you want with images. But if, as we understand, they're separate commands. The first commandment is about worshiping other gods. The second commandment is about how you worship God. And we'll talk about that more and when we get to the command to the second commandment. But just as an example, at the golden calf, they were worshiping Yahweh. They were worshiping the Lord through a graven image. And that was a breaking of the second commandment, not a breaking of the first commandment. So anyway, it may seem silly to talk about all of this different numbering, but it does have implications. And Calvin talks about the church sort of, I don't remember the language he uses exactly, but sort of tucking away the second commandment under the first so that we don't have to look at it. We don't have to worry about this graven image issue. One other thing that's just kind of interesting is that in many Jewish traditions, they number them slightly differently. That many Jewish people say that the prologue is the first commandment, where it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. They say that's the first commandment. And then they combine the first and second into the second commandment. So the numbering has been different for various people throughout history. My one main argument against the Catholic numbering has to do with that idea of graven images. But then another argument is that in Deuteronomy and Exodus, the order of the coveting command is different. So if you look at Exodus 20 and you look at Deuteronomy 5, one of them starts the coveting command saying, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And the other one starts it with, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And so if the Lord really intended for those to be 2 different commands, you wouldn't see them interchangeable like that. And all it's all really just one command not to covet. And it doesn't matter which piece comes in which order, because they're one commandment. So I don't think that there's much to... I don't think they have much of a leg to stand on to say that the ninth commandment or the 10th commandment is 2 different commands. We have 10 commandments. I believe this is the right numbering from Scripture. But 10 is a number of completeness, a number of having the full law of God. And we have the full revelation of what is right and what is wrong summarized in these 10 commandments. And so I want to take just a minute here. Why don't we talk about some examples of sin? What you could just bring up a sin, and let's think about where that fits into the Ten Commandments. Think of any, you can try to stump us here. Any sin that you think, that you want to know where it fits into the under the Ten Commandments. Boasting. Okay. That's a good question. I didn't promise I'd be able to do it. So boasting, where do you think that fits into the Ten Commandments? Ian? The ninth commandment? Okay, so maybe you're lying. Maybe you're boasting and you don't really have anything to boast about. I think a lot of boasting is that way. That's a good idea. So it has to do with lying, right? Bearing false witness. Quentin? The eighth commandment? So how is it stealing to... That's right. So there's also, I think, when we're taking any glory for ourselves, and we're not giving glory to God. I mean, there's a first commandment violation in that when we worship ourselves and we're trying to bring glory to ourselves instead of bringing glory to God. Were you going to say the first commandment? Right. What else? What are some other examples of a sin? Did that fit in with coveting in your lesson? Okay, so you want to take the glory from someone else. You see someone else having glory, you want that, and so you're coveting that. That's a good. So obviously, there's overlap in these things. What else? Can we just let's do one other example. What's another example of a sin, and we'll see how it fits. Calling someone a name, okay? So putting someone down. Where do you think that fits, Karis? Do you want to pass to Ian? Okay, what do you think, Ian? The ninth commandment, okay. So that may not be true, right? If you call someone something they're not, if you're, you know, if you call someone a word that makes them into something less than human, then you might be breaking the ninth commandment. So it might not be true, a true statement. Bill? Right. So Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. And so there is a hatefulness involved in calling someone a name. Yep, that's a good point. Quentin? Sixth commandment. Murder. Yep, that's what Bill just said. So, yep, goes right along with that. Ben? So often disrespect is to a system of authority, and we'd say that the rule about parent, the law about parents, governs the whole idea of being under authority. And it's, you know, it's interesting that Ben, the first thought that comes to Ben's mind when he thinks about calling someone a name is maybe calling his parents. I'm just giving you a hard time, Ben. But there's all of these things. So all this to say, we don't need to go into this at length. But the Ten Commandments are a complete revelation, even if they're just a summary of the law of God. And if you go and you look at the other laws of the Old Testament, they're applications. The civil laws of Israel are applications of the moral, this what we call the moral law of God. We often refer to the Ten Commandments, but as I made mention earlier, we also divide these commandments into two. So let's look at that in question 93. It says, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables, the first of which teaches in four commandments what duties we owe to God, the second in six, what duties we owe to our neighbor. So, kids, do you remember what the law, the Ten Commandments were first written on? What were they first written on? Ian? Stone, right? Was it one big stone? Two tablets of stone, right? And so two slabs of stone that were small enough that Moses could carry them and could throw them And we don't know exactly what they look like. We often look, they look like, for some reason, have a curved top. So we usually look at them. But they were on two tablets of stone. And traditionally, we have often, people throughout church history have said that maybe these two sets of two stone tablets had the first four on one and the last six on the other. Because if you think about it, the first four, kids, if you think about this, the first four commandments are about God, right? So you get through the Sabbath day. Those, all of those are about God. And then it switches. And in number five, it starts talking about your relationship with people and with your neighbor. And so there are different ways that people have broken that up. But traditionally, we've seen those as two halves of the law. And you can summarize those two in the two commandments that God or that Jesus talked about. So that's in your book there, reference two. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So you can summarize everything in 10 commandments, but you can further summarize it under these two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. And this is... I'll go back just a second. With those stone tablets, there are some people who think that that was actually two copies of the Ten Commandments. And that was a common thing in covenants at the time, to make a double copy of the covenant. So it's possible that these two tablets have both had 10 commandments on each. We don't know. It doesn't tell us what's written on each tablet. But okay.
Of the God. And the fact that both copies get put in the ark indicated that God was both king and God.
Okay. So if you have the two copies, if you could hear Robert, that the tradition of the time was to put one copy in the temple and one in the with the king. And so by putting them together with God, that was showing his kingship and that he was God over Israel. So we don't know for sure what the two tablets are, but I think we can without a doubt say there are two divisions to the Ten Commandments, with the love of God and the love of neighbor. But as you think about the law being summarized by commands to love, we have some people in Christianity today who tell us not to pay attention to the law. That the law is something bad, the law is something that is just used to convict us of sin, and once you're a Christian, you shouldn't be thinking about the law. You should only be looking at Christ. You don't need to look at the law to tell you how to live. You shouldn't be binding yourself by rules. But when you summarize the law as love for God and love for neighbor, I don't see how you can possibly say that the law is not important in the Christian's life. If we are saved by God's grace, by his love, how can we not be studying and paying attention to these laws that show us how to love, that show us how to be like God, that show us his character, and show us how to show that same character to the people around us. It's a summary of God's character, as I've said. And so we need to know how to do that. And Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And that's Jesus. That's not an Old Testament idea. The commandments are so much to be part of our lives as Christians. We should be investigating them. We should be looking deeply into them, as we will be in the next few weeks, to looking at each one to know, how can I do this better? How am I not doing this? How can I love God by doing this? How can I love my neighbor by doing this? Karis, what's up? Writing the letters on there?
Yeah, and then there's Moses.
Okay, interesting. So Karis has a picture of the two tablets, but there's Moses just standing there, and God is writing on the stone. So in the story of Moses and the Ten Commandments, I think I've got this right. God wrote the first set, but he made Moses write the second set. Am I right about that? Does that sound right? Or am I remembering it correctly?
I think so. God wrote that with his finger.
He did the
lightning bolt was representing God's finger.
Right, he did that the first time, but I thought I shouldn't say these unless I've looked them up.
But I may be wrong too, but I don't remember him.
This is going to go out on the internet, and I'm never going to live it down. Well, I actually thought he made Moses write it the second time, but that, please don't quote me on that, and I'll have to go check that after this. But just as we think about these two tables of the law, we think about loving God and loving our neighbor. Is that the order that we usually think of, the order of importance? Jesus says to love God first, and that that's more important even than loving our neighbor. Not that we do one without the other, but when you think about taking the Lord's name in vain or breaking the Sabbath, as opposed to the seriousness of killing someone, is that really the way that we think about the order of priority in God's law? And I think that's thought-provoking and convicting for me. But we need to think of them in that order. I think our culture can certainly get behind a lot more of the second table, and the first table just seems so foreign to them if they're not believers. But we should have the first table of the law as our foundation, out of which the second table flows. So again, this is a summary that we're going to be going over of the law of God, and it's a summary of what pleases him. And so it's, like I said, it's time well spent to really get to know them. And I hope that we'll come away from this knowing him and loving him better as we study his law. And also, as I've said before, I'm so thankful to have the law of God, to know what God loves. Because I love him, I want to know what he wants from me. And instead of it, I mean, they do feel burdensome sometimes, obviously, but that we, when we love him, we want to know what he wants. And we should be thankful that God's given us this good summary, simple summary of what pleases him. Any questions today? I will say, as we talked about the numbering of the commandments, that's one thing you'll need to be careful about when you're witnessing with Catholics, especially that, you know, if you're going to make reference to the commandments, you need to know what they know. Many of them won't even know the numbering of it. But. Phil?
It's not a question, but something that's helped me in thinking about sin is that almost every sin is a violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah, Bill's pointing out that at the end of the day, every commandment is a breaking of the first commandment. It's making something more important than God. If God's told us to do this and we're turning our backs on him, making something else more important. And that's so true. There's so much overlap between the commandments.